pretty sad.
Okay, so I'm going to call the meeting to order at 5:01 p.m. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I motion to approve the agenda.
Is there
Carmina,
a second?
Second. Okay. Carmina, second.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the May 11th meeting?
I motion to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Carmina, second.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to public comments. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on the agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or action. Are there any public comments at this moment?
There are no public comments.
Okay, seeing no public comments, we'll move on to old business. Funding request update. I believe the information is in the packet.
Actually, there's nothing written, but I can just give you a quick little update on two new LOIs that we did get in. We got one in from Alianza for $149,707 for titled the Salt and Sea, Fostering an Equitable Economy. We are having a proposal conference with them next week. And then we just received today, maybe it was yesterday, a request from UCR for $2,958.12 over 3 years, and apparently they have some land that they acquired in the Palm Desert campus, and they are looking for funding. They're going to be building out a clinic that eventually someday will become an FQHC lookalike, which will turn into an FQHC. But it's just very, very preliminary. We have not even had a chance to look at it or discuss it or done anything with it, but just to let you know that those two have come in.
Okay, thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
Does anyone have any questions for Donna? Hearing none, we'll move on to the grant payment schedule, which I believe is in the packet. Does anyone have any questions regarding this?
I have a question.
Okay.
I do have a question.
Okay, Karen.
I'm sorry. I'm having issues over here. So sorry if I interrupt the meeting inappropriately at times. My tech. My question is with our balance, what happens to it if it is not spent? It won't be spent. What happens to that?
Chris? Well, it'll be rolled over. Can't say the words rolled over, but it will be.
Will it be carried on?
Yes.
Carried over, yes.
It will carry over to the next fiscal year. So let's say that we have, for next fiscal year, we have $4 million that it has been approved in our budget for next fiscal year. We will have, let's say, $1.8 million that it's carrying over to next fiscal year. So next fiscal year, we will have available $5.8 million.
So this funding rolled over needs to stay in the grants category, grants line item. It can't be moved to something else.
If I may, what we would do is on the grant payment schedule, we would go ahead and create a line item on the grant schedule as if it was an actual grant, but it's going to have just a general description. So we will without getting into too technical details from an accounting standpoint, it would show there as a line item, let's say 1.8 million. And then in the next year, when the program committee and the board wants to allocate monies from that, then if there's a grant for say 500,000 for something, then it would reduce that unspecified amount by 500,000 and become a specific grant for whatever the purpose is. And that's separate then from the $4 million budget that we have in the fiscal year 2022.
Okay. My last question, just for clarification purposes, we had strategic focus area, this like 1.8, some of that money falls in those strategic focus area. If I'm understanding you, Chris, next year, we would, that like 1.8 would not fit into any strategic focus area. It would just be one line item.
It's one line item, and then it can be allocated however program committee and the board wants. And it would, in theory, be guided by the focus areas that come out of the strategic planning.
Got it. Okay, thank you, Chris. That was my only question on this.
Does anyone else have questions regarding the grant payment schedule? Hearing none, we'll move on to number three, COVID-19 grant funding, March 2020 to 2021. We'll be giving.
Chris, you were going to do that? Because you compiled the numbers.
I'm sorry?
Weren't you going to do that? Because you compiled the numbers from the COVID emergency funding and the recovery funding?
Oh, I didn't know that I was going to do that. No,
well, you had that one spreadsheet that we were looking at.
I can do it, Donna. I have the spreadsheet right in front of me.
This was
just a reminder of how much we have been able to allocate and leverage in terms of funding related to a COVID-19 response. And to that effect, what we can say is that from our own funds, we have allocated 2.6 million. We have gathered 3,125,000 from the county and from the Public Health Institute. And we have also, the organizations have leveraged and benefited from other funding. And that has resulted in a total funding available for the organizations that are working with the Desert Healthcare District for 21.7 million.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions?
Just a request. Can we have some of that in writing either for the next program committee meeting or the next board meeting?
Sure.
Thank you. Also, good job, as always. It's very incredible how much the district funding can help others generate more funding.
Absolutely. I think that we can be a catalytic force for many organizations, absolutely.
It also adds, like what Conrado had pointed out one other time, was that we're, board members were asking why we had a high grant balance on our payment schedule. Normally, a lot of those organizations that we would have funded came through, they had gotten funding through the pass-through money or other organizations because it was all specific to COVID. So this is why, like if Alianza or if Pueblo Unido or other organizations had come to us for other capacity support or for funding, that was taken care of through a lot of the pass-through funding between PHI and the county.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions? Hearing none, we'll move on to program updates. Number one, Community Health Needs Assessment and Health Improvement Strategic Plan, Part A, Strategic Planning Retreat for the 9th of September and the 11th of September. Who will be providing information?
I can do that. The Community Health Needs Assessment report is still being finalized by HARC. As you may recall, we had a conversation about this. We did not find that the report was elevating the visibility of the inequities and disparities in the Coachella Valley. So we have been working with HARC to make sure that the visibility of those inequities is elevated, because our grant making should be responsive to the existing inequities, and the strategic plan should utilize that information to inform our grant making for the years to come. And we anticipate that that report should be done over the next couple of weeks, and it will be in time for the strategic planning retreat, which is going to be divided in two parts. We're going to have the morning of September 9th and the morning of September 11th to complete the strategic planning process.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have any questions regarding the strategic planning retreat?
I have a question, Carmina. Camarado, is the remind me, I just can't remember at this moment, the community needs a health assessment, is that going to reflect COVID-19 data that we currently have?
It will have some related to COVID-19, but the reason why we did the needs assessment was to identify what are the health needs of our community and what is driving poor health outcomes, and how can we address the challenges. Those challenges are universal, and they have been manifested with the impact that COVID-19 has had in different communities. We know that although COVID-19 is an infectious disease, it did not have the same impact on different communities. We see that the mortality rate has been higher in poorer communities, and the social impact and the economic impact has also been much higher in certain communities in the Coachella Valley.
Thank you.
Okay, does anyone else have any more questions? Hearing none, we'll move on to grant funding requests. Number one, consideration to forward to the board in concept for approval. Grant number 1188, Coachella Valley Housing Catalyst Fund, a bold housing investment solution, Lift to Rise and Riverside County Housing Authority. Reserve $1 million from the district 2021 grant budget to the Coachella Valley Housing Catalyst Fund for allocation over 2 years. The CEO and legal counsel will negotiate and execute a service grant and agreement. Who will be speaking on this grant?
You want me to, Conrad, or if you want
to? Yes, please, Donna.
Okay. So on page of it, there's no page numbers. Anyway, starting on page eight, there is a staff report that outlines the background of how this came to fruition, the genesis of it. We are asking that the program committee approve this in concept of the reservation of the $1 million from the grant budget, because there are some contingencies that we were suggesting that would be incorporated into the Housing Catalyst Fund. And the biggest one was the incorporating or implementing or embedding a health, a health action plan in the pre-development process for shovel-ready project sites. And it's, I outlined a little bit what that is about, pairing with public health professionals and housing, affordable housing developers. It allows the residents to almost help design and construct and puts in a health and health practice that can be utilized in all future housing projects within the Coachella Valley, that the health needs are taken into account. So attached as well that the white paper that Conrado had done back a couple months ago about the intersection of housing and health, social understanding, social determinants. I also put in the work plate, the sample, a scope of work template for engaging with a public health consultant in a health action plan, as well as some of the strategies and in resources for a health action plan. Heather and Daniel from Lift to Rise are on the meeting, in the meeting. And I don't know if you want to start a discussion or have questions or comments.
Yeah. I have a question. Why is this not an MOU? Why didn't it come to the board as an MOU? I mean, to the program committee?
Because legal counsel had reviewed all the various types of investments and funding, and it had been recommended that they utilize, go through the grant process.
Okay, so they reviewed everything and they're confident in passing it this way?
Yes, according to our legal counsel, that the grant would be the most transparent way and the use of taxpayers' funds.
Okay, does anybody have any questions regarding this grant?
Yes, this is Karen. I have a couple of questions. Whoever can answer them, whether it's our staff or Lift to Rise, is okay with me. There's a lot of different numbers in the grant. It is hard for me to comprehend what exactly the $1 million or $2.5 million will be going towards in the, like how it will actually be used.
Karen, if I may just interject really quickly, I apologize. We put the actual original grant application summary into here just so you can get an idea of what the Housing Catalyst Fund was about. We are gonna be working with Lift to Rise to refine and change it to from 2.5 million to 1 million. We want to be able to tighten up the goals and evaluation before it comes to the board. So, but this was just more of a kind of an overview, a background of what the Housing Catalyst Fund is about and what they were originally looking for. But they were asking for 2.5. Our recommendation was 1 million and also then to embed the health action plan. So I apologize for that. I probably should put that in the staff report, that what you're gonna see on the application was more like a their concept.
Should I say just 1 million and going forward with my questions? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't, okay. So on page 19, we see like the budget and it doesn't actually tell me where, it just tells me the $1 million gonna go into a fund investment. For me in particular, it's difficult to swallow that because if I get asked, where is this $1 million going to? A fund investment. All right, but what does that actually mean? Like, the district's $1 million will be used exactly for. So I'm having a really hard time with this grant proposal where I'm not necessarily being told like it will be used exactly for this. And you can expect that our grant reports are going to talk about A, B, and C. Is that possible? Is it possible to get that information, or is it not possible to get that information?
Hi, Director Borja. The information is possible to obtain. The grant application that Lift to Rise submitted specifies that the contribution from the district is going to fund the Catalyst Fund. And there will be other agencies that will be contributing to this, including the County of Riverside. There are others that are on the pipeline, like First Five, Riverside, IEHP, and private funders as well. So the idea of creating this Catalyst Fund is that there will be a pool of funding to help other organizations, that, let's say in this case, nonprofit developers like the Coachella Valley Housing Coalition. This is to use one concrete example that need access to pre-development dollars so that they can complete all the groundwork that they need before they can convert into or catalyze a larger funding to develop a property. So the funding, as we will give it to Lift to Rise, it will be accounted for. There will be mechanism for Lift to Rise to report to the district and to say how the funding is being utilized, how many projects are being funded, where those projects are, how many housing units those projects propose to develop or build.
So as of today, there's no way to say out of the $1 million, $200,000 is going to be allocated to CBHC, right?
I think we can ask Lift to Rise to explain that if they can, and they're on the call.
Yes, Heather has her hand raised if you'd like her to speak. Mm-hmm.
Hi, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. Director Borja, I'll try to break it down just into like chunks so that it's clear, and then please stop me if there's part of this that isn't clear. So the investment that we're seeking will go, like Conrado said, into the Coachella Valley Housing Catalyst Fund, which is being managed by the Low Income Investment Fund. So we're drawing down resources and putting them in the fund. And we have a community pipeline of projects that stakeholders, community residents, developers, others from across the valley have contributed projects that match three community priorities. So they're affordable housing projects for low-income folks, that they have a degree of readiness, that they're ready to move forward in some way. And also the group is holding with this batch of projects a lens of regional equity. So making sure that projects are supported across the Coachella Valley. So right now there's currently five projects that are being underwritten. And so the Low Income Investment Fund is essentially the best nonprofit, you can call them a nonprofit bank in the country for doing this kind of thing. They manage lots of funds like this in different places. So I can't say right now, $200,000 will go to this project or to that project, because as things are being underwritten, they have to meet the criteria to then get underwritten, and then the district's resources in this case would be drawn down and the funds would go out the door. But to say that all of the projects are affordable housing projects that are in the pipeline, that are in the community, and that's why we have the Low Income Investment Fund, is to do the underwriting and that robust work. And it's their job with us to track this all along and support those projects to move forward. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
And I can also say, Director Borja, I can't say what they are because they're in the process, but there are currently five projects that are being underwritten. Four of the five are in the Eastern Coachella Valley and one is in the Western Coachella Valley. And it would, if they all move through, it will be for a total of 522 units.
Thank you. That's actually my next question, which is goal number three. Can you elaborate how this funding would support that? There's a couple of different numbers that are sprinkled throughout this grant proposal. Goal number three ties into the red, I'm trying to understand it. Goal number three ties into the red writing that's part of the budget on page 19. It says here, Desert Healthcare District will be added to a pool along with $20 million in CDFI capitals and other anticipated investments to reach a total pool of $50 million by the end of the two-year period. So a couple of questions, like when did that two-year period start? Has it started already? And then does that fit into goal number three or is it something completely different?
Sure, so the first question is that, so we're opening the fund with all, one way or another, the fund is opening at the end of this month, the beginning of July. And so we will count the clock as ticking from then that by 24 months from now, there will be $50 million in leveraged resources. Can I clarify that the question you're asking is how does this connect to 2000 units? Is that where you're connecting and tying it back to the other goal?
I'm trying to figure out if you're going to use these 50 million. If you're going to be using these 50 million to build those 2,000 units.
Oh, okay. I see what you're asking.
Are they the same thing? Different?
Yeah. So the idea is, let's just take as an example, the five projects that are going to go through at the end of this month. So and I'm making this number up because I can't like say anything because they're in underwriting, but let's say that those five projects required $5 million in lending. And so the funds will go out for those projects. The projects will use that money across two or three years, depending on the length of time they need it. And then the funding comes back into the fund and it revolves. So it's like this revolving pool. And so the idea of getting to 50 million is that we are continuing to revolve over that period of time so that funding goes out and then funding goes back in. And so the way Director Borja, this was first explained to me when I was really new to it, is to think about it as an accordion that we could even start like incredibly, incredibly small. And then what we do over time is the accordion stretches out and funding comes back in. And that's the way that it continues to be leveraged over time. The goal is to get to 100 to 150 million when we're at max capacity, but recognizing it's just taking a ton of work to get off the ground. That's why there's that $50 million goal at the end of the 2 year period, which if we secure our state ask that we're still negotiating the trailer bill language for, we'll be really close to that within the first 6 months to the year of the fund launching.
Thank you. My next question is if you or anyone else can let us know who else has already given hard dollars to this. Would we be the first? I don't see that anywhere on here, or maybe I just didn't know how to read that.
Yeah, sure. So we have funding from Wells Fargo. We have two capital commitments. Go ahead.
Can you share who and how much?
Yeah, so I will do it to the extent that I'm able to. So Wells Fargo is contributing $600,000 to the beginning launch of the fund. We have other public sources, including REAP funding that was allocated through CVAG that supports the operations of the fund. That funding is about $300,000. I know Greg is on the line as well. We received an additional REAP grant from SCAG. In addition to Wells Fargo, we have two pending applications with IHP And first five that we've been going back and forth on, we have a private contribution. So from an individual that was $1.2 million, which was the money that we used to be able to get this off of the ground. We have a $25 million ask into the state right now, which I think that we've referenced before. We're negotiating the trailer bill language for that. Probably five other funders, I'm just looking at my whiteboard while I'm talking to you, where we have applications out and are working back and forth. And additionally, there's a ton of folks, which I could name off, that have contributed resources to the operations of the fund, including the Center for Community Investment at the Lincoln Land Policy Institute and others.
Thank you. So if I understood it correctly, you have roughly $2.1 million in the bank that you can count on today. So my question, my sort of, I guess I should ask my follow-up question is, in the grant, it says, if the Desert Healthcare District gives $2.5 million immediately, it will be matched. Is that what you mean? Like, is that that same money or is someone else coming in and immediately matching this fund?
Yeah, we have two other proposals out where they've asked for a $2.5 million match. So that would be
Heather,
the
I have a question.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Heather, no, that's okay. Heather, my question is who's matching? Curious.
Yeah, so the two, we were seeking a matching grant from both First Five and IHP. The other funds that are immediate match. I mean, there's a capital here that we already have committed that's an immediate match as well. The CDFI capital that then gets blended with the district's funds or everyone's funds to immediately go out the door.
We also have some additional hand raised from Greg and Linda Evans. Did we want to hear from Greg at this time?
No, I have a couple of questions if you don't mind.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you. That's why I asked. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Sorry to go back to this. Can you walk me through goal number three, please?
Is there any way that you could pull it up on the screen? Because I can't see. Sorry.
What page is it on? 14.
14.
There we are. Goal number three. Can you see that on the screen?
Yes.
Okay.
So at Director Borja, you're asking about our short-term goal of advancing 2,000 units of housing. Is that right?
Yes, can you please expand?
Sure. So the goal is that the fund is a catalyst fund to be able to unlock and support the unlocking of other resources. And so what we're trying to do, for instance, with the first five projects that'll go out at the end of the month or the beginning of next month at the latest, is to catalyze those projects to move forward and be able to unlock other resources so that a total of, in that case, 522 units moves forward. The goal is to get to 2,000 units that the fund has catalyzed 2,000 units over the next 2 years, and then that we're continuing to do that so that we can get to our 10,000 unit goal.
When you say catalyze, it actually looks like what?
So one project that's moving forward or three projects that I can think about that are in the underwriting process, they need pre-development funding. And so they need the funding now so that they can they need long-term, patient, flexible capital so that they can unlock resources from other places like the state or private places to fully pencil out what it takes to have an affordable housing project. And so to catalyze, the idea is that's why the fund is a catalyst, is that it steps in and provides resources that are catalytic that then allow those projects to move forward and unlock other resources and draw down and leverage resources. The other way that it's catalytic is that affordable housing projects, the cost per unit and the cost to the community drives up over time, the longer that the organization developing the project has to wait to get it done, it drives up because of the cost of the capital. So the idea at getting capital to people at a low and flexible rate is that drives down the cost of the entire project. So those are the two ways that they're catalytic, but specifically to the units, the catalyst fund unlocks or catalyzes or pushes these units to move forward so that they can get going and get past the finish line.
Just, can I repeat what I think I understood? These 522 units will be put out on the market. They will be creating revenue and drawing down other funds into the catalyst fund that will then be used to create another 1,482 units.
Let me go back a little bit. So talking about these five projects, for instance, to start, the fund will support them so that they can move forward and unlock other resources so that they can become fully completed. And then they will return their funding to the fund and the fund will fund more projects. And that's the way that the fund revolves. But the fund does not benefit from the housing projects. The fund exists to support the housing projects so that they can get built over time. And then the funds revolve back into the fund. So that funding is recycled in the community to continue to support low-income housing projects so we can get more units built.
So Heather, let me intervene here for a moment so I can explain, because sometimes you use terms that are hard to follow. When it comes to what the Catalyst Fund will do, Director Borja, you have, I have explained this before, you have an organization, let's say for sake of trying to be as concrete as we can, Coachella Valley Housing Coalition. They have a project, let's name Santa Rita at Mecca, and they're going to build 50 apartment units there. They go to Wells Fargo as a lender and they say, I have a piece of land, I want to build 50 units at Santa Rita in Mecca. Wells Fargo is going to tell them, I need you to have a environmental impact assessment, utilities plan, blueprints, roads, etc. That is what is called pre-development phase. No one pays for that. No one is allowing low income or affordable housing developers to access that capital. What the fund will do is to fund this phase of pre-development. Once that pre-development phase is completed, they can go back to, let's say, Wells Fargo again as an example, and tell them, we have these plans already completed, and then Wells Fargo can authorize or underwrite the development phase of that project so that they can start construction, building the 50 units. At that point, let's say Coachella Valley Housing Coalition can take the money back and return it to Live to Rise because that pre-development phase is completed. That way, the funding becomes revolving and can operate to fund additional projects. Was my explanation clearer?
Yes, had you all said this was a tanda, which Latino families have been doing for 1,000 years from the beginning, I think I would have gotten this concept a lot sooner. We have something very similar in at least the local culture that I know of. that works very similarly. I have... have two more questions, and these are for, I hope I only have two more questions, and I think these are for staff. Staff, for the benefit of the public, can you please tell us what the process, conversation, negotiation was from taking this grant request of 2.5 million to 1 million, please?
I think that the recommendation stems from two things. Number one, we know that this is a new concept for the district, so we want to be very cautious. The second is, when we started this conversation, it was 10 million. We don't have $10 million that we can commit to. We reduced that amount to 2.5, but we don't have 2.5 million that we can say we have in our grant making budget for this year, and we need to use the funding that we have available. And the funding we have available is less than 2 million. So we make, I would say, a cautious approach to this opportunity. And to say we can recommend 1 million, that's what we have. Also, that's what we have approved in the strategic goals for this fiscal year's budget that is going to address the economic instability that is affecting some of our community members. So that's in terms of what we look at from a financial standpoint. The second is, which we see as an additional benefit, is that by the district participating in this, we can embed the health action plan, which is advancing the goal of having health in all policies. And that will help us be influential in how new developments are going to incorporate that health lens to create a built environment that it's more conducive to better health outcomes in our community.
Thank you, Conrado. My last question is, if the staff can tell us what this process looks like after today in that second part of, on the agenda, the second part where where it says action, it says the CEO and legal counsel will negotiate and execute a service/grant agreement. Can you please tell us what those steps look like and mean after today, if we were to vote yes on this?
So I think what we want to do is go back and sit down with Lift to Rise, modify this proposal, Director Borja, and reduce it to 1 million, have the objectives and the goals and objectives that we believe are going to be clearer, and how we can incorporate that accountability that you have mentioned today. We want to make sure that we have the mechanisms to report back to the board in a way that it's addressing the progress of how the funds is being deployed, how many units are in the pipeline or are being developed thanks to this fund, and anticipate how many affordable housing units will become available to our community members over time. And we will bring back that document to the program committee and, of course, to the full board for approval.
Thank you. And just so the first half of what you have written on here is clear, today the three of us would decide yes or no to reserve $1 million, and only the contract that is later negotiated about the $1 million would go to the board. The rest of the board would not decide on this dollar amount or reserving this money.
I think, Donna, can you intervene here?
Well, I was under the impression that if the program committee, which is three board members, would approve in concept of reserving this $1 million, what Conrado had mentioned, where we sit back down with Lift to Rise and modify the proposal, developing strong goals and objectives, and how we're going to incorporate mechanisms, how to report back to the board with real specifics, and also incorporating the health action plan. He had previously just mentioned that he would bring this document to the program committee and board. We could do that, or we could just bring the document back to the board in 2 weeks and begin the grant that way.
Just so I'm clear, by reserving these $1 million, the other four board members have the opportunity to vote yes or no. This being a line item from here on out, $1 million for Lift to Rise. It would just be the three board members sitting here today.
The three board members would just be recommending the concept of approval of a reserving the $1 million, whereas the actual action of approving the million would be made by all seven.
Thank you, Donna. Wanted to make sure that was clear and public.
Is that okay? So we will bringing the grant to the board. Yes. What? Just went blank also.
Does anyone else have questions? Carmina, do you have any questions regarding this grant?
I do. Actually, this is for Heather from Lift to Rise. Heather, I'm wondering if we can get a list of the current funders, just to be transparent and maybe add it to the application. Is that possible?
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you, Heather.
Of course.
You know, actually, Heather, where that could go is in the budget where it has source of other funds, source of other funders.
Okay.
On page, the third page.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you.
Does Greg still want to comment on this?
Yes, I would like to. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. it's been mentioned in this document that the Housing Authority for Riverside County is part of this Catalyst Fund and the whole Connect Capital campaign. And Supervisor Perez, as well as the Housing Authority, are in total support of moving this Catalyst Fund forward. I just want to say, I think this is an absolutely great opportunity for the district to become another partner in what really is a bold housing movement. When we lost redevelopment agencies, we lost these type of tools for pre-development money and funding aspects that would help affordable project developments move forward. What I will say, and being involved not only in the housing can, but in the work with the Lift to Rise and the Housing Authority, is this is seen as a national and state model of how this is being approached. It does look like it's making sausage, but when you really look at how it's put together, and not only is it just a catalyst fund, but it's the pipeline that was developed before that of projects, so that we know what projects are ready to go and ready to launch, and more importantly, what projects we know that we can access that capital quickly for to advance the development of affordable housing far faster than we're doing now. I want to approach this just on a level that you know is near and dear to my heart, is the homeless situation. And I'll first say that, you know, you've already got the report in the staff report, but the district has recognized that housing is a social determinant of health. And I think we've noticed during COVID too, is that the impact of housing instability directly affects the health care of individuals and the ability to fight off infectious diseases. On the homeless side of stuff, we know that when the district generously commissioned Barbara Poppy to do the needs and gaps analysis and recommendations for homelessness within the Coachella Valley, one of the top recommendations was the need for permanent supportive housing units. We've done a lot of great work since Barbara did that report, much more collaboration on homeless services and provisions, much more revenue and resources coming in. We do a great job of outreach, of case management, of transitional housing. Where we lack the ability for throughput is in permanent supportive units. And this Catalyst Fund is going to help achieve that goal. Within the pipeline, many of the projects have project-based vouchers, which are primarily for behavioral health clients, and also permanent supportive housing units, which are directly effective to those coming from homeless-based programs. This really is an opportunity for the Desert Healthcare District to take all of the great investment and commitment on the homeless side that you've done over the last 3 years and advance it to the next level and help with that throughput to permanent housing. I also believe that supporting this fund also demonstrates a commitment to the entire district boundaries, because as Heather had mentioned, if you look at the pipeline, these are projects that are scattered throughout the valley, and really a lot of them focusing on the East Valley. And just this small investment really makes up for that lack of tax increment that the district lacks in the East Valley by supporting and investing in many, many projects in the East Valley, including not just affordable housing units, but Polanco parks and other development opportunities as well for housing. I would finally end on that this really is important for leveraging additional funds. With the state ask, we are required for a match. The county is probably going to be stepping up. Heather has made me promise we'll get something from the supervisor's office, and we're working on that. But not just other public agencies, but private funders and other foundations, by showing that other public entities such as the district are involved and committed to this process, it really does help us leverage the fund and really helps us move the development of projects much faster than what would traditionally be done under current affordable housing rules. So I really strongly encourage you to advance this recommendation to the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Are there any more comments? Is there anyone else that wants to comment on this grant? Andrea?
None, no comments from the public, thank you.
Okay.
I have one more question, Yvette.
Okay, Karen?
I guess I'm having, where I'm stuck is this in concept situation. Andrea, would you mind going up to the action item, page 2? Can staff walk me through it, what you're recommending? What it means for the program committee and what it means for the Desert Healthcare District Board next in 2 weeks when we meet?
Well, we could actually not even say in concept. We could just say that Lifter Eyes submitted a grant application for $2.5 million, and the district is recommending $1.1 million with the contingencies that CEO Legal Counsel will add, clean up the goals and deliverables, and incorporate mechanisms to report back to the board. I mean, so you could just actually approve it as a grant application with the staff recommendation of $1 million versus the $2.5 million ask. But Camarado, if that's okay and then with you.
I think, Donna, you explained it well, and that's...
Yeah.
That depends on the board members on this committee. If you feel comfortable making that recommendation, we will move forward and bring back the document as we have outlined.
And what will the rest of the board see in 2 weeks?
So the rest of the board will see an entire application. We'll see a contract. We'll see the goals and objectives. We'll see everything that it's going to be completely transparent for them to make a decision.
And how does the reserve 1 million line fit into what the board will see next week or in 2 weeks?
So that would be a grant allocation for Lifter Rise. Yeah.
Basically just take out the word reserve, take out in concept, and just do as a straight application review, not the 2.5, but recommending 1.1 million. And then it will be booked in this fiscal year and like any other grant, if it's approved.
So will it be an actual grant document that'll be brought that the board would normally see?
Yeah, like we always do. Mm-hmm.
So I think the thing that's different, my understanding is that the program department is fleshing out more information and working with the committee, and then we'll define the details, narrowing that down with Lift Arise, and then actually bring a grant document to the board for review and consideration.
Right. We'll have all the usual, you know, Exhibit P. We'll have the, you know, Exhibit C, which is the contract. I mean, I'm sorry, the budget. We'll have the goals and deliverables, you know, be tightening up, fleshing them out. And then the different contingencies. And, you know, of course, Conrado and Jeff can review this as well. But it would be more just like a normal grant agreement. So I can see where the confusion probably did come in, because we do take out in concept and reserve. It would just be if we actually approve a grant of award of $1 million to Lift Arise. And we've done that before, where some organizations have come in with larger asks and we have reduced them and come back with a different number.
Thank you, Donna. That, like, taking it up, taking, being able to visualize this without in concept and reserve.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. For the rest of my colleagues here today, I am a proponent that this is a very large item that is tied to funding that we have already, we already share housing funds to CVAG. We like did that in like the last 6 months. We had an MOU with them and things like that. We have a strategic planning meeting coming up that was talked about here in September. I personally feel that we should not take this very large grant proposal on until we have more direction from the rest of our colleagues on what that strategic plan will actually look like. I think giving this a couple more months may not be the worst idea, especially hearing from like Heather that it doesn't matter, they're launching anyways. So maybe if we give Lift Arise a couple of months of leeway to like tell us, yeah, we actually did get the IHP First Five grant, like letting them tell us, yes, we did actually launch, like here's what it looks like, right? We have so many units planned for whenever, now that the fund has started revolving, in September, like after our meeting, our strategic planning meeting, I think we may be better equipped to make a $1 million decision and possibly even a $2.5 million decision if this 1.8 is like rolling over and we're gonna have the funds, the 4 million from next year. That's just where I'm sitting after my questions have like very graciously been answered, and I appreciate the patience. From day one, I've understood this as like a very complex thing. Just continuing to ask questions and getting them answered really does help demystify some of what has seemed complex in the past. So those are my comments, both for, actually only for the board members on this committee.
Thank you. What would be the effect on the housing if we wait until September? Can somebody answer that?
Greg raised his hand.
Yeah, am I still unmuted?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and Director Bohr, I kind of see where you're going, but I'll go back to the leveraging. And I'm going to talk specifically on a couple areas here that if the county saw that eight other public entities like the district were stepping up, if IEHP saw that the district was stepping up, of course, they have a healthcare lens. If other major funders saw that local public agencies are stepping up in the beginning of this, it directly impacts our ability to get allocations from those organizations. I'm going to tell you, by September, there won't be a unit built because this is, again, pre-development money. So you're looking at least a year and a half to 2 years to completion of a project. I don't know, respectfully, and you know, I sit on every meeting, whether it's program, strategic planning, and board meetings, is to me, this allocation with the money that's available in the 2021 FY year specifically targets many of the buckets that you have done. And I still believe will when strategic planning is done. But I would respectfully argue that there really is a sense of urgency here, because not only does it show the state, but also the county, and then these other organizations that we have pending applications for, the power of leveraging right now, especially in housing, is very powerful. And I will just respectfully correct a little thing. The district did allocate the $500,000, but that was specifically to homelessness, not to housing. They're both tied together, but they're two separate things, and especially the BOLD Catalyst Fund and Connect Capital campaign.
Okay, thank you, Greg.
From my perspective, I think that inaction on behalf of the district will lead to inaction by others. And stalling this process even further is going to lead to more inaction at a time that I think there is momentum to start triggering some of these projects. That's just my two cents.
This is Heather. Can I chime in?
Sure.
I'll just sort of echo what Conrado and what Greg said. The district has generously supported Lift to Rise to stand in an emergency position and support people to stay housed. And the bottom line is thousands of residents can't afford their rent. Two out of three renters in the Coachella Valley can't afford their rent. And we don't have enough places that people can live. In Palm Springs, I believe there's 60 houses for sale on the market. That just the general supply of housing in the Coachella Valley, there isn't housing. So this is a different, bold, innovative approach. There's a lot of places across the country that have done this. There's not a fund in Inland California like this. And the point is, because we're not getting at the production that we need to be able to get the units. And so, if you all were to say, please come back in September, we would come back in September. But cost drives up cost. And I do think, we've been trying for a long time to underscore how important it is that we get to a number of units. And we are massively behind as a region on the units that we need. And we have to move at pace to be able to make things move. So it drags things out. It drives up cost. Every single dollar that we're not able to get sooner, that's what the district and others. And there is this issue of the more that we're able to ground local funders, the more that it allows us to leverage resources from outside of the region, because it shows that the region has skin in the game, understands and is committed to moving it forward.
Okay, thank you.
This is Carmina.
Yes, Carmina.
Thank you, Heather. I'm actually in a with moving forward in this project. So I would motion to move forward with it. We're reserving 1 million. This is reserving the money. However, this will allow us to continue to explore and have conversations with Lift to Rise.
Excuse me, so can you repeat your motion again? Is it to grant the $1 million, or you mentioned the 1 million,
yes,
and then to do what, Carmina?
So I've moved my motion to move it forward in terms of, reserving the 1 million for Lift to Rise. And this will allow us to continue conversations with Lift to Rise and exploring with them.
Okay. And then it will be forwarded to the board from here at the,
yes,
the July 22nd, June 22nd meeting.
We haven't had a second to that motion yet. I have one more question for Conrado. So yes, would this money come out of the homelessness fund? Since
no,
it's going to be directed at housing?
No, it will not. It will come from the grant making budget we have for this fiscal year.
Okay, so Carmina has a motion on the table to approve.
Is there a second?
Not for me, unless you want to second the motion.
Conflicted.
Same, yeah. This is a.
I'm worried because it's a large chunk of our grant money. And I know it will help with the housing. But if we're still going to be giving money from the homelessness fund to kind of do the same thing, I'm kind of.
Yeah, and I'm conflicted because I hear Greg saying that there isn't going to be any like things built for 2 years, but then I hear Heather saying, no, there will be things built, and Conrado and Heather both saying like, no, there will be things built, and so the money will be coming in. So I'm just genuinely like, it's very challenging to take on what you're all saying. And then lastly, hearing like the district is the linchpin. How did this program get to the point where the district was a linchpin for other people to like fund it? I'll leave it at that. Those are my comments. That's kind of why I'm conflicted and I will not second the motion.
Director Borja, can I respond to what you're saying? This is Heather.
Sure.
Yeah, so what Greg offered is affordable housing projects take a long time to get built. And so what we're saying is that the projects will move forward and they'll be able to unlock other resources. They're not going to be complete and built by September, but it allows specific there's plenty of projects in the pipeline that can use funding to then be able to unlock other resources and move them forward. They're not going to be built by September because affordable housing takes a long time to build, unless it's a Polanco, which there are two Polanco projects in this batch of five that will move much more quickly. The other issue that I wanted to address is the issue about linchpin. Every bit of funding is crucial at this point, as we have a significant capital commitment and we need to blend that capital down to move projects forward. And we have a lot of projects in the pipeline that can move forward. So every piece of funding is crucial in that way. And then the other thing is to say the district has obviously taken a crucial leadership role around homelessness, and the connection between this fund and homelessness is that we need to increase the supply of housing so that people don't have to enter homelessness. But there are also folks that are homeless that need support. So they're a connected issue, but they're not exactly the same thing. And we know the number one reason that people enter homelessness is because they don't have housing that they can afford. So we have to act simultaneously in all these ways to get to a different future. It's not one or the other, or one first and then next first. These things have to happen simultaneously, but the lack of housing is the root cause issue, the number one root cause issue of why people enter homelessness in the first place. That doesn't mean there's not homeless people now.
Heather, could I ask a quick question about, you say there's two Polanco parks in the pipeline. If Eduardo Garcia is successful in getting the $30 million from the state to move the Oasis Mobile Home Park, was that one of the Polanco parks that's in the pipeline?
No. So the negotiations with the state, both for that and for our ask, are ongoing for how the state will deal with like what program they would allocate resources through and in what way. Oasis is on tribal ground and folks have to move into different projects. Or there could, you know, there's all kinds of ideas about what the solution for that is. With three of the projects in the Eastern Coachella Valley that the fund will hopefully fund this month, they are all, one is a Polanco, the others are not, projects where potentially folks, when those projects are completed, would be able to move. But that isn't specific, that ask isn't specifically tied to this.
And so, direct, Director Perez-Gil, if I could add just a couple of things, and Director Borja, while I said that the current projects may take 1 to 2 years to build, I want to make it quite clear that we are in construction and development on a number of affordable housing projects that the county is assisted with, that Lift Arise has actually had a hand in a couple of them as well. So we will have units coming online. And then Director Perez-Gil, I just really want to clarify that the homelessness money that the district has allocated specifically goes to the CV Housing First CV 200 program. So that's not about building homes. That's about direct homeless services. And then just my final comment, I promise I won't comment again unless you ask me to, is that I think this motion, you're not committing the $1 million today. You're moving this forward so that there can be more specification between Lift to Rise and healthcare district staff to present the concept to the board for their approval. And I think you would have a lot of the questions and a lot of the hesitancy. So by seconding and moving this forward, you're not demanding that $1 million automatically goes out the door right now.
Okay. Then I also, Carmine, I also would like to remind everyone that we also gave CVAG $10 million for CV Link for community bike lane. And so for us putting or moving this motion forward, like you said, Greg, we're putting on reserve $1 million. We're not committing to anything. We're putting it on reserve. So just wanted to put that out there.
Yes, I know that we gave CV Link $10
million. Yeah.
That was not my choice.
So, very controversial.
my position has been set on what I thought about the CV Link, but this is something different.
And right. No, I agree. It is different. But we're essentially building homes for people that need them, and it's a need in the community.
There are also a lot of contingencies tied to that $10 million. Well, we were the last one in, and CVAG had to prove that they raised $10 million that we matched. So
I understand that it is something that is needed, because I deal with patients daily on a daily basis that I can't get housed or that are housed and in danger of losing their home. So I know firsthand what it goes through, what it entails. The only thing is that I'm afraid that it might be another project like some of the homelessness issues or some of the homelessness money that we've given away that has not solved the problem. You know, that's my issue.
I agree with you. I also work with the underserved population as a psychotherapist, so I see it firsthand, the need. So I'm still with moving my motion forward. So,
this is a hard decision for me because so if we approve this, it's going to the board for final approval of the grant that's going to be finally brought forth, right?
Correct.
If the motion does not pass, I would like to motion that we revisit this grant for $1 million after we do our strategic planning.
I think that poses a policy question.
If the motion does not pass, if Carmita's motion does not pass, that's the motion that I would like to put on the table.
Thank you guys for making me the middle person. I really appreciate
that. That poses a policy question. So we're not making any grant funding allocations between now and the strategic planning sessions.
Okay, so we're not allocating the $1 million now until our board meeting. Once the full board gets to decide on if this is a project that we want to move forward with, right?
That's correct.
Ay, Dios mío.
It's hard. Yeah.
I'm gonna second the motion, but with the condition that this grant be revised and brought forth to the full board for us to decide on as a board. So I second the motion. Okay, any response?
So just to be clear, we are taking out the word reserve and in concept, and we are going to forward to the board a grant application after it's going to be revised with what we talked about before to go to the full board for $1 million.
Excuse me, Donna.
Yes.
Director Zavala's actual motion was to reserve the $1 million and to continue conversations with Lift to Rise. And when anything that's reserved or anything, obviously we know that's approved at the committee level, will move forward to the board. So you're recommending to the board what Director Zavala's motion was or is.
So maybe that we're all clear, Director Zavala can repeat her motion, please. I don't know if we're keeping the word reserve in or what. Just so we know what we have to do trying to get the contract together and working with Lift Your Eyes, and they're clear.
Okay, yes, Donna. So I motion to move forward with this. So we are reserving $1 million for Lift to Rise. So we can, again, begin conversations with them.
Uh-huh. And will that
and then move this to result the, and then move this to the board. Oh, I'm sorry, Conrado, go ahead.
Yes, I was trying to clarify if that means we're going to bring to the board at the June 22nd meeting, the full proposal reviewed by staff for the board to vote on it.
Yes.
For a grant.
For a grant without reserving the... I don't know. Then in that agreement, I do not second the motion to reserve the money.
So
that was my initial.
So will the motion be to bring this back to the program committee at the next meeting?
Yes, the program committee, and then once we do that, then we can take it on to the board.
So you're amending your first motion. So your first motion was to reserve the $1 million to continue conversations with Lift to Rise. That motion is being amended
to,
so we're amending that motion to.
Yes.
We're still going to reserve the $1 million, but you're saying you're going to bring back that staff is being directed to bring back the entire grant. Grant proposal to the program committee or to the board on June 22nd?
So I'm reserving the $1 million so we can begin conversations with Lift to Rise. And then after the, Heather's going to come back with us with a couple other things, and then we'll forward it to the board.
At the July meeting? Or at the June 22nd meeting?
I don't know. Well, actually, do we have enough time? Because then we would have to bring it to our next program committee meeting and then to the July meeting.
I think we're trying to make this probably too complicated. Director Perez-Guillo, if it's okay with you, we can move forward to the next program committee meeting, bring back this proposal with the refinements, the answering all the questions we have had at this meeting. And at that point, we can vote on this proposal. Will that be agreeable to you?
Yes, I think that would be a better option only because of all the concerns that we all have. I think that if something was more concrete, we would feel more comfortable in reserving.
Okay, so in that case, we can table this decision. We just bring back at the next board, at the next program committee meeting, a refined proposal addressing the concern that has been raised today.
But would the money be reserved or not reserved at the July program committee meeting?
We will bring forward to the board a motion to allocate the remaining funds in our budget for this fiscal year to the next fiscal year. So instead of having $4 million for grant making in the fiscal year 2022, we will have 5.8, something like that. Correct, Chris?
And yes.
And none of it will be reserved for this?
None of it will be reserved for anyone because we don't have earmarked. It'll be a
general dollar amount that can be later allocated and approved by the board, just like any other grant would be.
Right, like after we do the strategic. Got it. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll be moving forward with forwarding it, tabling it, and forwarding it to the next program committee. Right. Is everybody in agreement with that?
We need a motion, Andrea, for that. Specifically,
Do
I need to make a motion, Andrea?
I don't think so. None of the matters being tabled, no. Well, we have a motion. Director Zavala, I guess we do need another motion. So she amended her first motion to include the tabling to move it forward to the next program committee. That includes answering all those things that Donna outlined as far as the scope of work and all the questions that were involved.
But she wanted to do it with the reserving the money, right? So we're not.
Yes.
So, okay, so.
So you're tabling the matter, but we're reserving the $1 million, is that correct?
No, we're not.
Yes, that is
okay.
Correct.
Okay. Oh, she's saying, Director DeValo's saying something different.
Okay, but I did not second that motion.
Yeah, Director Zavala, I think that at this point, it would be better to move to table this item to the next program committee meeting and direct staff to work with Lift to Rise to address the concerns that have been raised at this meeting so that we will have a cleaner document to present to you.
Okay.
But simultaneously, staff is going to ask the board to take that reserve of what's unexpended left over 1.8 to move it into the next fiscal year. So we will still have $5.8 million to play with, so to speak. Yes. But it doesn't have any specific place where it's going earmarked. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good word.
Okay, so I'm confused. Do I need to make the new motion and then have it approved?
Chair Perezio, Carmina, or Director Zavala already made the motion to table the item to the next program committee meeting. The $1 million will not be reserved. It will carry over into the next grant period. Okay, and you can second that motion if you like.
So I second that motion to move it to the next program committee. Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So moving on to committee member comments. Are there any committee
roll call vote on that one, Andrea?
Oh, Chair Perezio, you can at least say all in favor. Please say aye. That includes Vice President Borja.
I'm not in favor of that motion. I'm a no vote.
You're not in favor of tabling it to next month?
Correct.
I'm bringing it back?
Correct. I'm in favor of tabling it until we do our strategic planning and then bringing it back afterwards. That was my, that's kind of where I landed comfortably in this process, just waiting to see what Lift to Rise does once they do launch their launch, and then after we do our strategic planning, then coming back, very similar to those comments about like CVAG and things like that, right? Like this is a really big ticket item. And for me personally, I feel like the fiscal responsibility should be spoken about in this particular subject after we do the strategic planning. I'm okay with your motion. However, my vote is just a no vote on the motion on the table. That's it.
Okay, so it still passes 2-1. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So now moving on to committee member comments. Are there any committee member comments at this time? Hearing none, I will adjourn the meeting at 6:27 p.m.
And excuse me, Chair Perez Gil. Greg had his hand raised. Did you have a public comment, Greg?
Oh, sorry.
That's a no. Okay. Thank you. We're moving forward.
Okay. So we're still adjourning at 6:27, moving into the program committee foundation meeting. I will. I will call the meeting to order at 6:28 p.m. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Am I solo?
I motion to approve the agenda.
Carmina, second.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes from May 11th, 2021?
I motion to approve the minutes.
Carmina, second.
Moving on to public comments. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on the agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or action. Are there any public comments at this time?
No public comments.
Okay, thank you, Andrea. Hearing none, we'll move on to grant payment schedule. The information is in the packet on pages 6-7. Does anyone have any questions regarding the grant payment schedule?
I do. Just a similar question as the one before. The $700,000 that's in did not get spent will just be moved over, same situation.
I believe it will be. Chris or Conrado?
I think that should be a recommendation from this committee.
Okay, so we recommend the amount that is still available to be moved to the next fiscal year. Do we need a second or?
But one thing I may note here is that on the foundation component, if you recall, the foundation has been budgeting $300,000 per year for the East Valley funding. And about a year or so ago, the board approved to consolidate all resources. And so the thought with that was that the $300,000 would not continue forward into future year budgets. So we did not budget, excuse me, for that in FY 2022. Just to point that out, $300,000 of that is that dollar figure. So you can vote to reserve the full amount or know that $300,000 is a component that we are no longer doing.
Okay, so then we would just move forward 430,000 of those 730,000, right?
Did you choose to eliminate the 300,000 component that was deemed as East Valley funding?
Okay, so those 300,000 would go back into the reserve?
No, it would just not move forward. So you can reserve 430 or you can reserve 730. It's up to you. I just wanted to point out that 300,000 is a component of that East Valley funding that we had budgeted in prior years.
Okay. So is everyone in agreement of just moving forward the 430,000 or should we move forward the 730,000?
I believe we should move forward the $700,000 amount. It is now policy of ours that anyone serving any resident of the Eastern or of the Coachella Valley can apply through our grant process for the overall pot. So don't necessarily think we need to reserve it since everyone has equal access to our grant process.
So I guess we're making a motion to move forward the 730,000 that are left over to the next fiscal year.
So excuse me, there's no action item for this, so the committee can make a recommendation.
Oh, okay, so we make a recommendation that the 730,000 that are left be moved over to the next fiscal year.
And that would be for the full board to approve at the board meeting.
Yes.
And then now we can say, Chair Perezio, that all are in favor to please say aye.
Okay. All that are in favor to move the 730,000 to the next fiscal year and forward it to the board for approval, can you say aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So
that was Carmina.
Okay, thank you. So it was approved by all board members. Are there any more questions on the grant payment schedule?
No more questions for me.
Okay, so we'll be moving on to new business, the Coachella Valley Equity Collaborative. Information on the Coachella Valley Unified School District, Palm Springs Unified School District, Desert Sands Unified School District, and evening and weekend vaccinations. Who will be providing information on this?
I'll go ahead and do that. Hello, everybody. Hello. I'll be as brief as possible. So everything's going very well with the collaborative. We're pretty busy this week. We have a total of 10 vaccination events. You know, we had a few with the Coachella Valley Unified School District. We did one at CV High School during one of the food distribution events. We were able to vaccinate 75 students there. We also hosted one at Desert Mirage High School last week, where we were able to vaccinate 255 students there. And we have two planned for this Friday with CV Unified School District, and they will be at Bobby Duke Middle School in Coachella and also at Oasis Elementary School in Coachella. And those will be from 12 to 6. And those will be in partnership with the Riverside University Health System. The Palm Springs Unified School District, we have a little bit better turnout this week than we did last week. And there was just a lot of things going on, you know, last week with the students. You know, we have graduations, but also the parent hesitancy to vaccinate their children because there's not a real urgency. You know, until the California Department of Education makes it mandatory to have students vaccinated when they return back to in-person instruction. So if that happens, we're going to be really, really busy. But right now, you know, all across the board, not only with Palm Springs Unified School District, but pretty much across all school districts, we're getting anywhere between, you know, 40 to 50 students coming to these vaccination events. And the reason why we had such a large turnout at Toro Canyon in Thermal is because there we have three schools. So that pretty much equals what we have, you know, combined with all the different schools. And with Desert Sands Unified School District, once again, you know, we're getting anywhere between 50 to 60 students showing up to each of these events. You know, once again, there's not a huge urgency on the side of the parents. And as we heard, you know, this morning with our meeting with the county, is that, you know, a lot of students are ready to get vaccinated, but their parents are actually holding them back. So that is a big issue. And we foresaw that, you know, from the initial get-go, that there was going to be some parents that were not going to allow their children to get vaccinated. So until there's some policy changes from the CDC that trickle down to the California Department of Public Health, and obviously from, you know, the Riverside University Health System Department of Public Health, we're still going to be trying to figure this out to see exactly how we could reduce those barriers so we could vaccinate more students. But our efforts continue. We also have other community events that we're doing in the evenings and the weekends. We had one this last Saturday at Fantasy Springs Casino, where we vaccinated 210 community members. So that was a really good turnout. And then we have a few, you know, this week, we have a static site at Todec offices in downtown Coachella. So those events are going to be held every Friday from 10 to 5 p.m. until further notice. And that is a really safe space for our community. You know, Todec is a very, very well-known entity in our region, and they're very trusted. So that's a very welcoming space for our community members that are wanting to get vaccinated. And we're also going to have, you know, our events at the Coachella Valley Housing Coalition. We're going to be in Desert Hot Springs this Thursday at Arroyo del Paz Apartments. And then lastly, we're going to be this Friday from 5 to 8 p.m. We're going to be at St. Anthony's Mobile Home Park in Mecca, providing Pfizer vaccinations. So we're trying to accommodate the schedule for our community to try to make it as accessible as possible for them. And there are other events happening, you know, here on our calendar, online calendar that we have. It looks very beautiful with all of these different events happening. But, you know, it's definitely keeping the collaborative very, very busy. On average, we're doing anywhere between 8 to 10 vaccination events weekly. And we're going to start shifting our focus here in the next week or two to kind of scale back on our vaccination events that we're hosting and focus more on outreach and education to really get those folks that are kind of sitting on the fence thinking about, you know, getting the vaccination or not. So I think we're going to, you know, shift the focus to that and just, you know, do the outreach and enroll people and book appointments for them while our promotoras are in the community doing door-to-door outreach, tabling events, et cetera. Now, since, you know, we're projecting that next week our state is going to open back up, so they'll have more opportunities to be out in the public, you know, interacting with our community members to ensure that they get the information they need. And if they desire to get vaccinated, they'll be able to make them an appointment to one of our locations that we'll have. So that's all I have for the collaborative efforts in regards to the vaccine.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for all your hard work. I know it's not an easy job. And I thank you guys for all your help with getting our community vaccinated. Does anyone have any questions for Alejandro? Okay, thank you, Alejandro. We'll move on to old business, the Coachella Valley Health Information Place, the CVHIP updates. Who will be providing information on CVHIP?
I could do that as well if you'd like me to. We have some very exciting news for our board. Is internally we met, and it is time for us to, you know, move away from the CVHIP brand and fully embrace the Connect IE brand, which is, they're pretty much, you know, sister programs, sister platforms. But there are greater things in the horizon in regards to the Connect IE platform. that we thought were going to be beneficial if we did away with the CBHIP branding and then fully embrace the ConnectIE branding. And the reason being is that ConnectIE is going to enter into the second phase of the project, which is a community information exchange, which, you know, you guys have heard about this for several years now. For those of you that have been around that long, that, you know, it's pretty much closing the loop, which is a risk assessment of community members according to their specific needs, utilizing the social determinants of health as that, the scale, and being able to connect them according to the risk assessment to specific programs or services, you know, according to the social determinants of health of each of those individuals. So that is something that's going to be rolled out here in the next, you know, 4 to 6 months. We just finished, you know, the RFP and the scoring and, you know, the presentations from three different vendors, and we selected Ann Bertha, which is a current operator or designer of the ConnectIE platform. And we're very excited about that. So we thought that it's time for us to kind of do away with the CBHIP. We're still going to keep the website in case we're going to be the owner still of the domain of the website, cbhip.com, in case somebody that in the community is using that platform, they'll type in cbhip.com, but they'll just be redirected, you know, to the ConnectIE .org website. And obviously we'll have some messaging on there to inform the community of the change. But besides the landing page, everything else is the same. And so we're very excited about that. And we also have a follow-up meeting with IEHP, who manages this project overall, to see if there is an opportunity for us to receive additional resources in regards to support our outreach and marketing efforts of the ConnectIE brand here locally. So that's a pending meeting. And once we have more details about that, we'll share that with the program committee and the rest of the board.
Thank you, Alejandro. I'm very excited to see the new way we're going. And I know I use it for a lot of my patients, and a lot of my patients use it. So I'm kind of excited that it's going to be a little more user-friendly for them.
Yes.
Does anyone have any questions for Alejandro regarding CBHIP? Well, hearing none, we'll move on to committee member comments. Are there any committee member comments at this time? Well, I have a comment. I want to let the staff know that I appreciate all of your guys' hard work and everything that you guys bring to us. I know sometimes it can be difficult, but I appreciate all of you guys, and I appreciate all the effort you put towards our community. And if there's no more comments, I will adjourn.
Yes. Thank you. No, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And if there's no more comments, I will adjourn the meeting at 6:44 p.m. Our next scheduled meeting will be on July 13, 2021. Thank you all for your
Thank you.
Attendance. We'll see you in July. Bye.